Sai. In our Haggadah B'derech Klal, to point out in the Deiros HaRishonim, in the Tkuos HaRishonim, among those, of course, who brings us the Shaychis to the Chovos Halvavos, going back again to the 1100s and so on before. So among the many Rishayim that we pointed out from time to time, another one is the Rav Avraham ben Rambam. Rav Avraham, the son of the Rambam, also writes about the Chovos Halvavos. Just kedai to mention, Rav Avraham ben Rambam was a great personality in his own right. It is only that he is in the shadow of his great father, the Rambam. And therefore, somehow, Rav Avraham ben Rambam, in the eyes of many, has not emerged as being, in fact, understood as the great personality that he was. Rav Avraham ben Rambam was born in Cairo, Egypt, in the 1100s, in the early 1100s. And he was Nifter also in Egypt, in 1237. And interesting is that the Rambam called him Avraham, not because he had a grandfather Avraham, a great-great-grandfather, someone known as Avraham Avinu. And Rambam named his son Avraham after Avraham Avinu. And it was this of Avraham and Rambam who brought to the forefront many of the writings of the Rambam and many chidushim of the Rambam that we would not have had. In other words, the Rambam himself did not write everything that he always said. And a lot of the teaching of the Rambam, on top of that he had written so much, that comes to us by way of, in fact, Rav Avraham ben Rambam. It's just interesting that at the age of 19, Rav Avraham ben Rambam, parenthetically, by the way, the Rambam was 51 years old. He was 51, age 51, when Rav Avraham was born. And Rav Avraham ben Rambam, at the age of 19, already succeeded his father. At the age of 19, he succeeds his father. A, he was a personal physician, you know, in the court of the Sultan and the royal court. And also, he assumed at that young age already leadership in Egypt and so on and so forth. And he had the title of Hanogid. You might know there's great personality, Reb Shmuel Hanogid. Nogid was a title which was more than stam nobility. A title of Nogid basically meant that it was a position which placed all the Botedinim, all the Jewish courts, were under his jurisdiction. In other words, he was the one responsible of choosing Dayonim, who would be worthy of functioning in a Bezin. That was the special title being called a Nogid. And he, as becoming a Nogid, interesting, at a young age, he made changes. One of the changes that he made was, it was very customary in those days that whenever there was disagreement between factions, as a matter of fact, even between minor functionaries, not such great people, Dafke, if you disagreed with me, I put you in Cherem. And went back and forth. I put you in Cherem, you put me in Cherem. And some that we mentioned, the same thing happened within the great, great controversy between Rabbi Yehuda Sanaibshitz and Rabbi Yankiv Emden. But in the 1700s, here again, Rabbi Yonason's camp put Rabbi Yankiv Emden's camp into Cherem, Rabbi Yankiv Emden's camp put Rabbi Yonason, started the other way. Rabbi Yankiv, first of all, put them into Cherem. Rabbi Yonason and Ipshitz put them. And as he said, had you lived in that time, you would have been in Cherem. Either way. So, Rabbi Avraham and Rambam, the Maaseh, took away this authority. And he made a decree and injunction, you can't put in Cherem unless, he says, you have an authorized Bezin, which he appointed three Dayonim in the city. If Cherem has to be imposed on anyone, for good reason, whatever it is, it has to go through this formal Bezin. You can't just set up your own Bezin or your own authorities and put someone in Bezin, into Cherem. That was one of the situations that he put in. Also, certain things also, he did not like the idea that people, which is still today you have it, that there was chairs in the shul, certain particular chairs which came out in certain construction, that the back of the person was towards the Aron Kodesh, was behind. He felt it was not a covet. It was not a covet to the Aron Kodesh, and therefore he had removed that as well. And he received a lot of shilohs as a great paisik. I mean, Rambam, of course, you know, was a great paisik. That's what he was. But Rav Avraham and Rambam, he received shilohs from all over Eretz Yisrael. Received from Yemen. He received shilohs from Provence, from France, from Baghdad, from Syria, and of course from Mitzrayim, from Egypt as well. That Avada and Avada. And we don't have too much, but 130 tshuvas. But 130 tshuvas that was printed quite a while back already in Yerushalayim, many years ago, and so on. And some of his tshuvas actually deal also with Pirushim HaChumash. Some of it deals with Musar, and many of it is to defend the Pesachim of the Rambam. You might remember, we mentioned a number of weeks ago, that many shailas, talking from great people, to challenge the Piskei Dinim of the Rambam. And the Rambam himself, where possible, would write back himself to defend his Pesachim. You might remember that I mentioned that someone once asked him in Ma'ar Mokim, he says, where is the source? Because Rambam didn't write any sources of where his Pesachim came from. Someone asked him, and one area the Rambam says, I don't remember, but I knew it when I wrote it. It's a fascinating thing for the Rambam to say that. And so on. So many other Piskei Dinim, as time went along, people had questions. And many of the questions were because they didn't understand the Rambam. But whatever the situation was, Rav Rambam and the Rambam at least also took that mission upon himself to be a defender for his father's works. So that's the number of the tshuvas. There was a particular Odom Gadol by the name of Rav Daniel HaBavli was his name. Rav Daniel HaBavli, who wrote a lot of commentaries and arguments against the Rambam, and Rav Avraham ben Rambam wrote rebuttal against it, of these various arguments against it, and so on. So in addition, of course, probably the most of all that needed to be defended was the opposition against the Rambam's Moreh Nevuchim, which was the philosophical work, and it was a tremendous polemic against him, against his celebrated father's philosophical works. And he himself wrote a whole Vimzok essay, and he called it Milchamas Hashem. Milchamas Hashem, not to be confused with the Ramban's Milchamas Hashem, which is on the Rif, defending the Rif against the kashas of the Baal HaMoer on the Rif, which is also called Milchamas Hashem. There's Ramban, whose sefer is called Milchamas Hashem, printed on all the traditional editions, of the Rif, common editions, and so on and so forth. So, just a gabruche. There is, which is not left too much of it, but there is a sefer we quote a lot of times because we're learning Shabbat Tochen, the Chayvus of others. It's called Hamas Pikes Et Lo'ivde Hashem. This is what it's called. Rav Avraham ben Rambam, Hamas Pik Lo'ivde Hashem, which means simply sufficient instruction for servants of Hashem. And a lot of it deals with his philosophies of what Bitochen means to say and so on. And basically it really, really brings out, you see, the strong Amunin Bitochen of Rav Avraham ben Rambam himself. You see his Gevaldig Edelkeit, and you see his tremendous Madregas and Tzidkes. And by the way, it should not be therefore a surprise that the Rambam himself, in a place, writes about the tremendous praise. There is a Talmud that the Rambam had by the name of Rabbi Yosef, he says, Ben Aknun. Rabbi Yosef Ben Aknin. And the Rambam writes to him about his son. I want you to know, he says, you know about my son, Babron? He says he's one of the most humble people, he says, you'll ever find. In addition, he says, to his other noble character traits, and with Hashem's help, the Rambam writes, he will unquestionably become famous among the greats. So writes the Rambam. So let's take a look, just a few lines, you don't have it there. Rav Avraham ben Rambam, just having a little akdama now about Rav Avraham, what he writes about the Chayvus HaVodes. So he says, Vikame Berura, he writes in a place, Vikame Berura, he says, Maskonas Rabbeinu Bechaye. Chayvus HaVodes' name, as you know, is also Rabbeinu Bechaye. Not to be confused again with Rabbeinu Bechaye Al HaTorah, which is the Pirush Al HaTorah, or some say Rabbeinu Bechaye, we already went through that. So this was the Chayvus HaVodes, Rabbeinu Bechaye Ben Pekuda. So Rav Avraham Rambam writes, he says, Kama Berura, how clear it is, the Maskon is the conclusions of Rabbeinu Bechaye, Zecher Tzadik Levrocha, Bechayvus HaVodes Al Milas HaPrishus. He picked out particularly, the Shar HaPrishus, which is the ten gates of the Chayvus HaVodes, different Shiorim, one is Shar HaPrishus, which deals with abstinence in life, where a person should be basically be mitzamtzem his lifestyle in the sense that a person should not be Shekua Boilam Hazeh, that his life should not be Rosh Hashanah, realizing that Olam Hazeh is just a hachon and preparation for Olam Habo. And therefore a person shouldn't overly indulge in Yonam HaVayim Hazeh, should curb his desires, control his desires, and his pursuits should be for the right things. And not to be allowed himself to be taken in as we find most of the world is. So the Milas HaPrishus that the Chayvus HaVodes talks about, and the Rav Avraham ben Rambam makes particular mention about that. So just a gab we should mention, being that we said Rabbeinu Bechaye, Ben Bechaye was later than the Chayvus HaVodes, Rabbeinu Bechaye himself mentions, as we say, his namesake. the other Rabbeinu B'chai, which is the Chovos Halavos. If you take Chovos Halavos, I mean the Rabbeinu B'chai, I'll tell you, look in Parshas Mikates. Rabbeinu B'chai in Parshas Mikates, you'll see where he makes references. Rabbeinu B'chai also wrote a sefer called Kad HaKemach, the Pitcher of Flour, which is basically a sefer that deals with Musar, ethics, and so on and so forth. So there is a Shara Parnosa, or Erech HaParnosa, that deals with earning a livelihood. Rabbeinu B'chai writes, and there he brings the Chovos Halavos, and also another place where he talks about Yichud Hashem, talks about the unification of Hashem, dedicating one's life, and understand to the one and only HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and so on and so forth. So that, Rabbi Yisai, just a little bit, in a way, again, of a Shikla Gzoma of some of the greats, of course, of yesteryear, who appreciated, not mamish contemporaries, but very close to being contemporaries of the Chovos Halavos. But we take a look, Rabbi Yisai, here of the sheets that we gave out. And again, before we get to the actual Chovos Halavos, let's take a look. And this brings us to the first item on the sheet. It's from a sefer. The sheet is from a sefer called Nesivos, as you can see here, Nesivos Huamuna. It's Choshev Sefer, published in Eretz Yisrael, which brings about a lot of things which is very, very necessary and vital in terms of strengthening a person in Amunah, and it gives the hisayris that you need in order really to become enthusiastic about Amunah and really to understand, what Amunah means and to be able to overcome the various challenges that a person meets in his life against Amunah. If you can see here, the first item that we have over here, which is on the sheet, is brought down, of course, from the altar from Kelm, Hasaba Mekelm. Of course, in today's world, anybody who went through a little bit of the yeshiva system knows that the altar from Kelm was one of the primary Balei Musar, who is one of the great Talmidim of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. The Alter von Kelm lived a long life, and he was Nifter in 1938, that period. One can imagine that a person who becomes so great in Musar had to have pretty choshev parents as well, although it's not always that way. You can have choshev parents and the offspring are not exactly that way, and vice versa. You can have great people. Avraham Avinu came from Terach, no? So al kuponim. But it is said about his mother's great tzidkis, she was a person who always went around with matriach herself to collect tzedakah for the poor. She went, this was it. It's particularly on Levayis. People on Levayis, people are very emotional. You know, you can see even today also many funeral homes, they have either tzedakah tassel memodas, talking about, people really don't want to walk back past that shizzle because they say, maybe he's right. You know, so you take out and you give something. So this was her common minhag, especially by Levayis, to collect money, but it was an opportune time. It is said that when she lost her daughter, she was at her daughter's levaya, she went around with a pushka as well. At her own daughter's levaya, she said, "Val ich bin in Avelis," she says, "the Aniyim should lose." She says, "Just because she says she's in Avelis, that means that the Aniyim should lose. This money goes for them." And therefore she took the opportunity even at that particular time. The Alter von Kelm was very makpid that you don't write any titles to him. No Harav, Goyin Avadanish, and Tzadik Avadanish, not these kind of titles. Very simply he said, even the Ktei said, he said to any of his Talmidim and to anybody, he said, you write to me, you write Lo'oi Havenu, to the one who is our friend, he says, Hadoyresh Toivisenu, who seeks our good. That he believed he was, that he had totally, was committed to the good of his Talmidim. True friend. People call themselves friends here and there, but you know, they're only friends until they need something from you. When you need something from them, then all of a sudden. But he said, "Oyaveinu," who said, "Who's this Hadoyresh?" He says, "Toviseinu," who really seeks out the good of his Talmidim. He was very upset when someone wrote a common title. I mean, today it's a common title. You write this to someone, Yorei Elikim, that's Goynish Yorei Elikim today. You have to write to Goyna Goynem, Yorei Goyna Miti. Yorei Elikim, you write on anybody. He was very upset, he said. Yorei Elikim, you know who deserved the title Yorei Elikim? From Avinu, after the Akedah, Kodesh Baruch Hu said, "Ke ato yodati ke Yorei Elikim ato." You give me the same title that Avraham Avinu said. Avraham Avinu's title, said Yorei Elikim. Very makbid, don't give me this title. Don't deserve it. Very makbid amomen shel chaveiro. It was all part of Musar. Very makbid not to touch a prute that he did not deserve, that was not his. Would not put his hand on a coin that not belonged to him. Went ad kedei kach, it went that it is said that he himself had to go out collecting money for the yeshiva. When he came back, he brought back whatever was not used in terms of expenses, in addition to a half a cigarette. He said, "I smoked the cigarette," he says, "Kozman, I was oisik for the yeshiva," he says, "but now I'm not working for the yeshiva anymore. The cigarette belongs back to the yeshiva." So whatever was left, he brought back the half a cigarette. He said, "Not entitled," he says, "to the cigarette anymore." He says, not on the job anymore. Gave it back. And even by his patira, it was already, they said, Bishas de Gesisa. It was very warm, didn't have air conditioning like today. So maybe they took, borrowed a fan from a neighbor. I say fan, a hand fan. You have to keep playing, to fan his face. And they said, Mamisha de Gesisa, with all of his koiches, he took it. And said, he says, don't use it. He said, why? He was worried that in the excitement, as they'll keep fanning him, he may pass away right in the middle. They'll forget it's a borrowed fan, it'll break. It'll be mazik moment chaveroi. This is what he had in his mind, the last moments of his life. He says, no, make sure that this fan is returned. It does not belong to me. So let's take a quick rabbi on the sheet here. Hasabe Mikhail Mzachayin Olavrocha. Move the Das Torah, the Sefer Das Torah. Of course, the Sefer Das Torah is from Yeruchim, the Mir Mashgiach. So the Mir Mashgiach brings the Sefer Das Torah, and he said, "Bir Al Pimoshel." He said, "Quite the example to explain." Darug is showing this Bamuna. He said, "Namuna itself." He said, "Namuna Hashem and Hakadosh Baruch Hu. There are different madrigas. There are different madrigas in terms of how one can have a Muna and Hakadosh Baruch Hu." And he gives the Poshut example in common life. Yeshayale Moisoy. He says, "Odo Mal Chaveroi." For example, there's a common situation where you ask someone information on your friend. You go over to Reuven and ask, tell me something about Shimon. What kind of a person is Shimon? So you're asking Reuven about Shimon. You want to know, is Shimon a trustworthy person? Right? Is a reliable person? And Reuven answers in the affirmative. He answers, Bavadai, Ish Nemanhu. Okay, so you received information. You received information from Reuven that Shimon is a reliable person. No, you trust Reuven's information. So what happens when Shimon comes and he wishes to borrow money? Well, you assume he's a reliable person. Listen, Reuven told you so, and you believe Reuven. So you might give him a loan. You might extend a loan. And when that ploini comes, when that Shimon comes to you, if he comes to you, and he requests a halvor, you'll give it. Why? Or it says Nachmer, he says. Well, let's go this way. A bigger chiddush. Reuven was the one, right, who gave information on Shimon. That Levi is the one who's asking the question. So let's get the player straight here, because it's a very fascinating thing. Levi is asking a question from Reuven about Shimon. So Levi says to Reuven, he says, is Shimon a trustworthy person? Reuven says, Avada Shimon is a trustworthy person. If Reuven considers Shimon a trustworthy person, now if Shimon wants a loan from Reuven, Reuven would give it. Reuven himself is the one who's testifying, right? But let's say he gives him Taki. And then it says a half a year later, Shimon comes, but he wants a tremendous amount of money as a loan. Tremendous amount of loan. Here, Reuven might be hesitant. Why? Didn't you say a half a year ago that the guy's a reliable person? He's a reliable person, you know, to trust him for $1,000, but not for $500,000. In other words, you can have a money, you can believe, you can trust in something, but to degrees. There's a level. There's a madreig of how much nemonis. This was the marshal. This is the marshal the altar from Tom gave. You can trust and you can believe, but yet there's a gvul to the extent of how much emunah he had. He says, Bechozois, nevertheless, even though you, Reuven yourself, gave testimony, you gave information that so and so is trustworthy, but im yovo yishuv, but if that Shimon would come again, v'yevakeh sheyalvel eschum godol beyoser. Now he's coming again, and now he wants an extremely large amount. Yaschil Ahara. He begins to think about it. It's not so quick to say yes. Yaschil, assume he has the money to give. That's not the issue here. Question is, are you ready to trust him? Yaschil Ahara begins to think, Ha'im hu be'emes odam ne'mon, Ha'im be'emes efshalis mecholov. Can we really trust him? Is it taki so? What does it mean? So obviously, right, if we analyze, this person, Reuven, when Reuven said a moment ago, or when he said a half a year ago that Shimon is trustworthy, he believes, but he doesn't believe. He believes he's trustworthy, but obviously he doesn't believe fully. He's a mamin v'ne mamin. Odom kezeh beged a mamin v'ne mamin, v'usoy mecholov rak ad gvul mesuyim. He trusts, right? He trusts him, believes in him, up until a certain gvul. Tevaloi be'oifim bilti mugvul. So the Alfon Kel wanted to point out the same thing is in Amunah Bashem also. You're talking about Yidden, of course, believers, not non-believers, they talk about, they don't believe. But even Aminim. But there's different levels in Amunah.
People are willing to trust HaKadosh Baruch Hu up to a point. He says, beyond this, he says, he trusted himself already, he says. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had help from Azoy, 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 Azoy. Up to a point, he trusted Hashem. Comes a certain gevul, beyond that, he says, no, I don't think I can rely on Gansan of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then he says, different things have to come here into my situation, or to guarantee Hatzlocha in various situations. Emunah itself, Rabbi Yisai, is subject to different levels. Nope. So we go further. This next line from the source is from the Sefer Or Yecheskel, from Chatzke Levenstein, who is of course the Mashgiach of Ponovich, Zichron Lavrocha, and he says, "Emunah, who the truth is, it's an oxymoron to say I believe and I don't believe. The definition of emunah really is believing is a shleimus loy chilukim upsharis. It's like being a little bit pregnant. It's not shy. Either you are delish. It's not shy. You know zazach." Either says, you believe or you don't believe. Well, I believe, I believe. Or do you believe or you don't believe? If you don't believe fully, felt is an amunah. That's not called amunah. That's not called amunah. It's called something else. Find another word for that. It is amunah ushleimet loy chilukim upsharis. Amunah means without any chilukim, no divisions, no psharis, there's no compromises. Because eino imamin b'yecholas HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'shanoi sidrei habriyah. If a person does not really believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has the ability to change the order of nature, what he did now was, he limited, of course, Hashem's powers. We have to know. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, from his end of it, there are no limitations. Limitations is, from our side, are we worthy of having certain things done to us or for us or because of us? Whatever does not happen is nothing due to the inability or the lack of the yecholus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ve'yochel b'shor achas livre li'oidim shurik roch. All he has to do is want to do it. Now, you have to get HaKadosh Baruch Hu to want to do it. Why should he want to do it? Why should he change the order of the Bria for you? Why? Who are you? What have you shown? What have you shown? What have you done that you would deserve HaKadosh Baruch Hu to change the nature of the world for you? As we find in Klal Yisrael, and we find in history and so on, and for certain individuals, of course, it did happen. So the Yochel HaKadosh Baruch Hu Avada has the ability in one moment, if he wants to, Livroi Liyodam Kitua, a person with an amputated leg or yad, a Borim Chadoshim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu want to? HaKadosh Baruch Hu want to? He doesn't do that. Person with an amputated leg, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to, the next morning he gets up, he has a new leg. He has two healthy legs, two healthy arms. Rak she'einenu ruim lekach. But we are not worthy of that. Sheyas HaKadosh Baruch Hu nisim gluyim. Points out, the Sefer Yecheskel points out, Chatzke Levenstein. Nu, to show you how far this goes, let's take a look here, and we're going to find a few words of the Chazon Ish. First of all, Bidvarim Elu, similar to what we have just said, number two we're going now. Noisiv Lonu Nadve Choshev, we're going to add a new row of bricks. Bebinyan Habitochen. When we're dealing with the Binyan HaBitochen Sheish L'chazik Atzmeinu B'amuna, we have to be mechazik ourselves. You have to keep chazering and reviewing and to keep strengthening more and more. Amadregim B'tochen, having trust in Hashem, doesn't come automatically. To truly trust in Hashem is something you have to be mechazik yourself. You have to work at it. Shekishem, in other words, HaBitochen has to be and has to contain the following belief. Shekishem Shehakadosh Baruch Hu Bara Kol HaBriyah. The same HaKadosh Baruch Hu initially created the entire world, entire creation. Kach yochel v'apoysan, he can heal it as well. People are chas v'sholom sick, tremendous machlis. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to feel that there's a reason why he's going to do it. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu has the ability l'rapoysan u'lesaknon, and to repair it, to heal it. Ki ein hevdel leitzel HaKadosh Baruch Hu bein leidas nevroim l'saknon. Does not make any difference HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He created the world and he can repair the world. Doesn't make a difference. And just to see a few words, as he points out here, as we see, b'milim achodis, and with just a few words, says it all, kolal, Rabbeinu HaChazonish Zichron Levrocha. The Chazonish writes exactly what we are saying, just mamish with a few words, he contains it all. He wrote in a letter, b'michtav chizuk, he said, l'chosuch bonim rachamon al islam. In the Igros Chazonish, regarding a person who was not blessed with children for many, many years, and with all of the tests and with all the medical information, the news came back very, very sad. The person did not know whom to turn to, and he writes to the Chazon Ish, The Chazanish writes as follows. Chazanish was nifter 1954, Rabbeisai. So he writes as follows. Ki omnom, he says, I want you to know. Ki omnom, he says, hachlotosa mashlilis. He says, shall I write for him, he says. The truth is that the negative conclusion, hachlotosam, the achlota, right? Hashlilis, the negative conclusion, shall I write for him, ein bo mamish. Hazirat ha'id ha'mamim. Ein bo mamish, listen to these words. V'hatikva oideno chaya v'kayoma. And the hope of the Kens Geholfenwend, you can be helped, is still around. The person goes and he hears the bad news, he loses hope, he's miyayish, he despairs. Not chazanish. And therefore, being that it's not over, I still find room to give you my brocha. Now, I can't tell you the end of the story whether he had children or not. And then what happened? I don't know. Can't tell you. But this is the way Yid lives. This is the way Yid Mamin lives. This is the way Yid Abba Talking lives. And this rabbi said, this is not, we're talking about nice midos, you know, animal blindness. This is fundamental. It's the fundamental of Amunah, the fundamental yesoides of Eid. It's not easy to come by. There's a hargosha, there's a mental state of mind, and that's something that Eid has to work to achieve. Like we said, Amunah has different madregas, Bitochen has different madregas that we saw all along in the Chovas Avovis, and all the various mamarim that we learned till now. But we go here further. Number three, Ulam. There's another thing. Besides believing, Emunah crosses, there's a lot of branches in Emunah. Emunah is not just that Kosh Baruch Hu has the ability to change nature. There's also a very fundamental, another fundamental, which is a tnai, which is a condition in Bitochen, and that is to have a clear belief. The master cause of the Torah, Bonimatim Lashem Alekechem. Yid has to believe that he is a child in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's eyes. We are children in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Bo'ohavti etchem Amar Hashem, says the Posik. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I love you, each and every Yid. Bo'odas, so part of the Emunah is to know that, to be aware of that. Sha'boire Yizbaruch. HaKadosh Baruch Hu merachem al ha'odom yoser mikol merachem. You see in the brackets, we had it a few weeks ago, that's the Loshon of the Chovis Avovis, that's the Loshon Tevis over here. Loshon Chovis Avovis. Chovis said HaKadosh Baruch Hu has rachmanis on you more than anybody else, and if you might remember, he said more than you have rachmanis on yourself. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu has the ultimate rachmanis. V'hayna af yoser mima sha'atu merachem al atzmecho. V'yedu adiv razoir HaKadosh. And the Zohar HaKadosh says in Shemois, says the Zohar HaKadosh, Ilemole havi yodin b'nei nosho. If people would only know that. Listen what the Zohar says. Shimon ben Yochai says that. Mechaber of the Zohar. Ilemole, he says, havi yodin b'nei nosho. If people would only know, would they be aware? What would they be aware? Rechimusa derochim kutshe b'richu li Yisrael. The love that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to the Yid. If the Yid would be aware of that, what would be? Says the Zohar as follows. Habushuagin ke kefrayu. They'll be crying out like the young lion cubs. The Mirdef Abasre says, to run after and to pursue, to seek Hashem, to seek to be close to Hashem. Says the Zohar. If a Yid would know, like the little lion cub runs after his mother. Little lion cubs, these are the kfirim. These are the lion cubs. The same way we would do everything in our power to try to come even as close as possible to Hashem. And therefore Rabbi Yoina Rabbi Isai says, let's take a look. Ben Yoina said, this is in the spirit of Mishle. Oid Yechayiv Inyan HaBitochen. Among, he says, the various Inyonim, that Bitochen is Machayiv. What else is Bitochen Machayiv? If you're about Bitochen, what else is it Machayiv? What obligates you? What else does it obligate you? Ben Yoina says, in addition to everything else, Bitochen, if you are about Bitochen, to have Bitochen obligates you, Livtoyach Be'emes, Arach Me Hashem Yizborach. He says, Ki Rabim Rachmav. That's the situation. Many times when we don't receive what we want, we mistakenly somehow might have this fleeting thought that maybe really Hashem doesn't have Rachmanis on us. Can you say to yourself, Hashem has Rachmanis on us, why has He allowed me to be in this particular state? You don't know the Cheshbonis of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But one thing is certain, it's not like of Rachmanis. That's the furthest thing. Because Baruch has the greatest amount of Rachmanis that's Bechlal Shaykh, which humanly possible is not, cannot go that far. And you never know what's good for you. and you don't really know what true rachmanis is. Kalim Moshel always is, that the Baal Shem Tov used to give, he says, he had a little child, walks on the street with his father, and he sees a little glass toy, so he picks it up, starts to play with it, and his father takes it away from him, and the child begins to cry. He says, "Why are you taking it away from me?" He says, "I'm enjoying it, I want to play with it." Father recognized that there were some sharp edges. He can cut himself with it. Little child doesn't have the circle to understand it. His mind is not developed. What does he look? What does he think? He thinks his father Poshet is doing a Maisach Zorius. He's doing something which is terrible. He thinks his father Poshet does not have a feeling for him. His father doesn't care about his feelings. His father somehow is an Ozer. Is out to hurt him. He doesn't understand. Just the opposite. He's out to save him. What happens if you pick up a knife, a little child? He wants to play with it. It's a nice toy. Imagine a nice silver shiny knife. A beautiful thing to play with. Father takes it away. His mother takes it away. How could it be? The same mother who nurses him, the same mother who cleans him, the same wife, takes away his knife. And he doesn't understand and begins to cry. He doesn't understand. It's Rachmanis. The human mind has no way of understanding HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Cheshbonis. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu's reasons are. And the last thing that we conclude is that it has something to do with not caring. Just the opposite. It's because he cares. And that's in the Kudu Ben Yoyne says, that's part of bitachon, to believe. It's a mechayiv, it obligates you. It obligates you that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's rachmonis is upon us, ki rabim rachmo baroiv chasodov. Tremendous chesed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu continue. By the way, every moment that you breathe is an act of chesed from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, a person has to strengthen himself in this bitachon. As it says, "Vani b'chazdecho b'tachti." We say in davening, "Yogi libi b'shuah secho." Right? "Vani b'chazdecho b'tachti." So we're saying, the Rav Melech says, "My bitachon is in your chesed. My survival is in your chesed. Whatever I have is in you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, bestowing upon you. That's because of your chesed," and so on. And Rav Yoni goes on to say, remember we put out that there are different opinions in this next statement coming up right now. Questions, Rabbi Yisrael, what happens if somebody is a Rosha? He's a Rosha, by all definitions. But he's a Beter B'Hashem. Now, I don't know how that works exactly. If you're a Rosha, if you're a real Beter B'Hashem, then how can you really be a Rosha? But let's say a Rosha places his trust fully in Hashem. Ben Yoni says he will also, on account of the Midah B'Tochen itself, is so strong and so powerful that he can be showered, he said, with tremendous chesed. Let's take a look over here. Ben Yoni says it. The tikva, the hope that comes out of such strong bitochen. You know what you gain? The reward. The reward that a person is able to gain from such a strong bitochen. That even if you're in a situation, you have not a little bit of avoinis. Avoinis of rabim batsumim. You know what rabim batsumim? It's not a double ocean. It's not a redundancy. A lot and terrible sins. You could have a lot of sins, but not so terrible. You could have a few sins, but terrible ones. Imagine if Tartil Reyeser. Terrible sins, and a lot of them. Ki b'hiyois avinois of rabim v'atzumim, he says, yekavel rachim Hashem Yisbarach. No one is cut out. No one is cut out. Yekavel let him hope the rachim Hashem Yisbarach kama shenema, because as we say, Pasuk in Daniel, ki lo yal tzid koi seinu. Because no one comes to Hashem saying, listen, I deserve it. So if it's not because of Yitzitkes, what is it? It's Rachem Yishon Yisbarach. So if it's Noyal Tzitkeseinu, it doesn't make a difference who it is. It's Noyal Tzitkeseinu. It's not because of our Tzitkes and so on and so forth. Rabbi Yisrael, I want you to turn the sheet just for a moment. Then we go to Chovis Halvavos. Time is moving on, number 4. And then we're going to go on. Let's take a look. He says, V'chein Kotzov Ramban. Ramban writes in the Sefer Amun Bitochen. The Pasuk says, Omar says, B'tach B'Hashem V'asei Toiv. Trust in Hashem and do good. Well, let's take the first half of the pasuk. B'tach b'Hashem, said Ramban, Kloimar. You know what the pasuk means? It means as follows. Afal pi she'ein b'yotcho maisim. Even though you don't have a reservoir of maisim, you don't really have maisim toivim, you don't have good deeds really with you. V'teida ba'atzimucho shata rosha, and you know that you are a rosha. Im kol ze b'tach b'Hashem. Ramban learns that David HaMelech is exhorting us, encouraging us to be a b'teir b'Hashem, no matter what your situation is. Ki hu bal harachim, because Kodesh Baruch Hu is the consummate bal harachim, v'yirachim alecha. If you only trust in him, give me a reason I should have rachmanis in you. Trust in me. Kama shenemar, it says rachim aval kol masov. Doesn't say al tzadikim. Rachim aval kol masov. Kol masov means whoever it is. Everyone is Ma'aseh Mishal Kodesh Baruch Hu. We are Ma'aseh Mishal Kodesh Baruch Hu. Kodesh Baruch Hu created all of us. Ramu Kol Ma'aseh. Rishoyim Eloyim Tzadikim. Rishoyim. That's what the pasuk means. That's how Ramban sees it. And just to finish this up, just the two lines of Chofetz Chaim. Two lines of Chofetz Chaim that he says here, number 5. Mefurish b'sefer Shem Olam. Shem Olam, as I say many times, that the Chofetz Chaim has sort of outshone himself in the sense that he has written so much to be Mezakeh Sarabim, and a number of his Sfarim have taken the front row, you know, in Klausel, and it's become so mefursim that in a certain sense we sort of forget and don't realize there's so much others. There's so many other Ksavim, so many other things that he wrote. Mishnah Berurah, of course, takes the front seat. The Chofetz Chaim, Shmiras Haloshim, that's what we talk about all the time. But there's so many kunturesim. But in Kol Svarim that he wrote for the soldiers, you know, that had to go with conscript in the army, how did they deal with Shmir Shabbos? You know, they knew that they can't be a full Shomer Torah Mitzvah Seed, at least to minimize when they're in the army. How does a soldier deal in an army, in a Goyish army? And you can't always eat kosher, so at least to be Bemayit, Be'isr, so on, Pekuach Nefesh, all the different situations. You have to carry a rucksack on Shabbos, yeah? So you have to carry, you have no choice, they make you do things. So how to be mamayit in certain situations, how to be able to be over less if possible, and so on. So he wrote this whole sefer, the Chofetz Chaim. How to deal, and so on and so forth, you know, all the various pamphlets dealing with all areas of Musar, Shmir Shabbos, and Kashrus. He talks about mikvayas, talks about Limud HaTorah, talks about Tzedakah and Sefer Havas Chesed. Tremendous sefer called Havas Chesed from the Chofetz Chaim. So let's take a look here. There's a sefer called Shem Olam. There's a sefer called Shem Olam. He says the Rabbeinu HaChofetz Chaim Zal, and quote, this is what he says, Sha'afilu hu odem sheino hogun, that even if he is a person that's not worthy, ach, but shechizek b'tchoyne b'ashem koyech habitochen megin olof. Chofetz Chaim writes that the koyech habitochen will protect him u'mischaseid imoy Hashem yizborach ken kosov hagron. He brings it from the Vilna Goyim. So we show the same thing from the Ramban. And we show the same thing from Rishonim, going back. Sometimes you have things in Rishonim, maybe other Rishonim don't agree with it, and so on and so forth, but here you have Chofetz Chaim, he takes it on, takes this opinion. So it could be even an Odim Shenhogim. But for anything else, that alone, besides the side benefits that you have, that alone is a tremendous case of how important it is for a Yid. And of course we say, Baruch HaGever HaShivta B'Hashem, we say it in davening every day. So Rabbi Yisrael, let's take a look now at the Chofetz Chaim that you have over here. I hope everybody has the Chofetz Chaim in front of you. And this is on page Reish Lamed Hey in the Chovis Alvavis that we have. Page Reish Lamed Hey. Okay, page Reish Lamed Hey. It starts here, the Inyan starts, Uperish Hachelik Hasheni. Uperish Hachelik Hasheni. Reish Lamed Hey. Okay, let me just make a small hakdama. What the Chovis Alvavis is going to try to say over here. Chovis Alvavis here is talking about different groups of people. He now takes on a second group of people. The Nikudah that he's going to make in this next paragraph, basically, is to tell us that a person, the Baal Bitochen, of course, you work for a living and you do whatever you have to do for a living. But a person who works for a living has to understand that to go out of his way to extremes, he says, this is not in tune with Midas HaBitochen. In other words, you have to do Ishtadlas and you have to do what everything is B'derech HaTeva possible. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu has in the cards, has in the plan for you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Goyzer, how much a person should be Marviach, how much a person should be Matzliach, he says, then you are able to be Masliach, he says, in the less time that you put in. Chofetz points out that a person is not able, no matter what you do, to have one pruta more than a Kodesh Baruch Hu wants to give you. And by the same token, he says, that which is nigzer for you to have, you're going to have, you have to do your Ishtadlus. Yes, you have to do it. However, he says, but a person who thinks that by amassing or investing in terms of Roshei Verubei, occupying himself totally and fully regarding this idea in the pursuit, He said, in the pursuit of worldly materials, he says, it's not going to give you more. And this is what he says over here. And he goes into all different professions. Listen, he gives here a whole list of professions, so a person can put himself into any one of these. He says, let's take, basically try to explain, let's take a look, he said, at the second group. The second group, which deal with matters relating to a person's possessions. The Sibois, he says, Tarpoi. The Sibois Tarpoi means, and sources of income. Tarif means income. We had it many times in the Chavis of Ovis. Let's take a look regarding a person's possessions, regarding a person's sources of income. He says, Ve'ofnei asokov b'mischer. And let's take a look at right, his sources of income regarding his business dealings in commerce. Mischer. What about umalocha, or maybe a job, right? Job, malocha, handicraft. Or could be v'halichas rochim. Or could be business travel. People travel for business all the time. Or let's say uminui. Minui is talking about a situation where a person has high office. He's appointed to high office. That could be his parnosa. Or could be his chiris. Chiris is salaried work. Ufkidus. Ufkidus is civil service. Or he says, as he points out, Bavoides Hamlochim. Bavoides Hamlochim would be royal service. Vigizboros Vikablonis. Then you have what we have, Vigizboros Vikablonis, which means financial management. Or you could have, right, Kablonis would be Kablonis is property leasing. Kablonis. Then you have Amone. Amone means you have credit business. That's Amone, that involves trust. Then you have Sifrus. Sifrus means serving as a cipher, as a scribe, which was common in those days a lot. Umine Havoides, it says, in all different types. Right, you have all different type of other types of services. Ba'alichas ha'midboris, or crossing deserts, which is something that people used to do. Ba'ayamim, crossing oceans. Ba'adoyim alozeh. And anything similar occupations. Ne'mashim esaskim boy, that people basically engage in those types of works. Le'kabis moment, but their objective is also, in most cases, universally, the objective of being involved in all of these things is le'kabis moment, is basically to accumulate a lot of money. U'lahar bois moisrei ha'michyo. To lead a life of luxury. Moisrei ha'michyo. Moisres. He says, but this is not in tune with the true Baal Bitochen. Because ofnei is the oifen, the way. Ofnei yosher ha'bitochen bohem alolikim, the proper oifen. The oifen ha'yosher, if someone has bitochen HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the proper way is in these matters, he says, is yisaseg b'ma shizim eloi ha'boire nehem, to engage whatever occupation, right, HaKadosh Baruch Hu prepared for you. He says, letzorech sipukoi mezoinoi, to extend that's necessary for your maintenance and for your sustenance, to attain whatever right that should be able to have a good living. But the idea that basically that his life is dedicated to amassing fortunes, it's not going to help you, because he points out further. Because if HaKadosh Baruch Hu really ordains it, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu was geyser on you, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu was already geyser on you, b'toisefes al zeh, that you should have more than you have. Tevoyeu mibli toirech v'yagia. He said, if you're true Baal Bitochen, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu was geyser on you, decree that you should have more, then you're going to get it without trouble or effort. Kashe yiftach el olekim bo, he says, which is provided that he relies on Hashem for it. He says, v'layarbe lechazer al hasibois, and will not overly pursue natural means. We're talking about Baal Bitochen, boys. It's not everybody's in this madrega. But this is the, you can have the idea, this is the goal of the Baal Bitochen. Right? This is the goal of the Baal Bitochen. And you will not overly pursue, he says, these natural means. And the means that you are using is not what you rely on. This is just a vehicle. This is just a vehicle, but you don't rely that this is really the source of your atzlocha. Source of your atzlocha because Kadosh Baruch Hu decided. This is just the vehicle to bring what Kadosh Baruch Hu wants to send you. But the atzlocha is not from here. That's not the source of it. That's why he says, Yismach aleihem b'liboy, don't rely, he said, in your heart on these things that you're doing. So if a Kadosh Baruch Hu is geyser, he says, then you're going to have it anyway, without extra trouble, without extra effort. And if a Kadosh Baruch Hu was not geyser, did not ordain more than your sustenance, not basic parnosa, if Ashiris was not something that Kadosh Baruch Hu ordained for you, if he did not ordain it for you, Look what he says. If more than your mozen was not ordained, listen what the Kohen Sofer says. If it's not ordained min haShemayim, im hoy mishtadlim kolash b'Shemayim ba'aretz lahoysef olav v'hoy yecholim mishum bam. He says, you can do all the ishtadlis, says, from heaven to earth, he says. Louis Sur, you can do ishtadlis from heaven to earth. The Gun Shalom, he says. It was not ordained in a Shemayim, all the ishtadlis, he says, in a Shemayim, he says, uba'aris lahoysef to add, lahoyah yuchoylim bishum ponem, v'loy bishum sibir. There is no sibir, there is no means in the world you can come up with any tremendous idea, genius idea. It doesn't make a difference. He says, the Gun Shalom, v'kashe yiptach b'lekim, which you stand to gain by being a Baba Tochen. He says, by trusting in Hashem, that yimtzu menuchas liboy, first of all, a person with betochen, he has peace of mind. Totally different life he lives. Totally different life he lives. You have suris, you have dangis, throw it on Hashem's places. Why keep it here? Right? You have something that's no good, and when you do it, you throw it out, right? Throw your suris also out. Where you throw it? Throw it on Hashem. Throw it on Hashem, Hashem can handle it. He says, a person who is beter balikim, yimtzu menuchas liboy, who will find peace of mind, vishal v'snafshoy, tranquility in his soul. What will he have? What will he have? Peace? That what really belongs to him, nobody can take away. Kiloi yavrenu chukoi. Chukoi means that which has been set aside for him. That which is set aside, lo yavrenu elzulosoi. No one else can take it away from him. And guess what? Not only no one can take it away from him, you can't have it earlier than it's decreed, and you won't have it later either. Lo yagdim, lo yachem itoi, hanigzoi loy boy. So that's what we see over here. No, so this gives us a shtickle idea. Again, this is again what we're talking about here in Shara B'Tochen. Let me tell you, Rabbi Yisai, that there's a recently published sefer. The sefer was published, not so recently actually, but the Hagdama of the sefer by the Machaber was the name of Rav Moshe Shmuel Leitner of Yerushalayim. And in the Hagdama there, he brings a very, very fascinating thing, a tremendously fascinating thing. And the Hagdama he writes as follows. He writes the Hagdama of the Sefer, he writes, in the 1920s, there was a Yid by the name of Rav Moshe Kokish. Rav Moshe Kokish approached the Austrian authorities at the time, he says, to build a kosher hotel, which he felt in an area that was a very attractive holiday resort, in the area of, you must have heard of it, Bad Kastein. A very famous spa that people used to come to Europe all over. Certainly before the war, it was a very famous place. And this Mr. Kokish was very experienced in this type of a business, hotel business, and this told him that this location would be very profitable and it had a lot of potential. One problem, his application was rejected because of the anti-Semitic Austrian official did not want a Jewish hotel in the center of town. 1920s. Rejected his application. When he reapplied, the municipality told him that he's able to build the hotel at the outskirts of town, which was not very happy because it's not such an attractive place there to conduct one's business in the hotel business. He wanted in a very scenic area. It's always not the greatest place in the greatest location, but he had no choice. So this Remotche Kokish, he builds a small hotel, it was called the Hotel Bristol, it was called, outside the city. Next to some sort of a little waterfall over there. He had a base medrash on the premises, and his food was to the high standard of kashrus, so that was not a problem. Mordechai and his wife had four daughters. Since there were no Jewish schools in Bad Kastein, no Jewish schools, they went to public school. So the four daughters went to public school, local school, but in spite of the fact that they went to public school, but Mordechai and his wife, it was homeschooling as far as Jewish education. They gave them everything they knew, and certainly they taught by example, which is one of the most important things, by the way, in schooling. Recently, I spoke at a dinner in Toronto, Canada, Toronto Cheder over there, not too long ago, and the principal of the school asked me, "You're speaking, it's a school dinner." So Susie speaks about other things. He says, "No." So what I want you to speak about, it says, is the importance of parents being role models for children. Well, that happens to be a very fundamental thing in chinuch. You know, school can teach you all you want, but when the kids come home and they don't see parents as a role model, so then they destroy it in 5 minutes. You know, what kids can sit there in an 8-hour school day. Akoponim, these parents were proper role models, and therefore the girls grew up with honesty, integrity, and so on. It should be. In 1930s, this Remotche passes away. Hotel falls to his wife, his widow, and she was very extremely efficient as well, together with her four daughters, and they ran a smooth operation, they said. 1930s were on, so anti-Semitism became intensified, restrictions, limitations were clamped on Jews and their businesses. They saw the handwriting on the wall, and therefore they applied for visas to be able to leave. Where are they going to leave? So this widow, Mrs. Kolkish, had a cousin who also was from Austria, who happened to immigrate. She left Austria in the 1890s, and they settled in Santiago in Chile. So she writes her cousin to send a visa to go to Chile. Be kind enough for sponsor her and her four daughters. Lamaisa, many of the relatives in Santiago had already intermarried, Jew and Gentile alike, as they used to give aim. But nevertheless, there was a will in the family that the grandfather wrote. He says that if my family members, he says, in Austria ever need help, you are to assist them in any way possible, regardless of cost. So Bekitzer, it turns out that on Kristallnacht in 38, of course, you know, when shuls were destroyed, as everybody knows, and so on, Jewish establishments, the Jewish hotel was spared because it wasn't a shul, it was a summer hotel, and it was only for the summer. It was closed in November. So in November, the Kristallnacht was November 38. So when they went to destroy shuls, the hotel was closed, so they had no reason to go there. But Mrs. Kolkish and her four daughters and two caretakers were in the hotel. So the following Shabbos morning, after Kristallnacht, but the following Shabbos morning, sitting there and they're eating the Suda in the hotel, so they hear a loud knock on the front door, and there's two Gestapo officers march into the house, and they order Mrs. Kolkish and their daughters to pack their belongings and to prepare to come to the Gestapo headquarters. "We'll be back in an hour to pick you up, and you better be ready," one of the officers screamed, yelled, roared. "Excuse me," says Mrs. Kolkish, she says, firmly, "today is Shabbos by us." Imagine saying this to a Nazi. "Today is Shabbos, we don't travel. Come back tomorrow. We're not going any place today." They didn't know what to answer to this. So they figured going back to headquarters and can report this. So they go back. Meantime, while they left, she instructed the caretaker to take out all the Sefer Torah, take out all the Sidurim, all the Chumashim, and to put in the warehouse about a mile away. Everything was safe. These things were safe. But they were there. Soldiers went back to the Gestapo headquarters, reported the encounter about this chutzpahdige woman, and the commander hears the name of the woman, Mrs. Kolkish. He closes his eyes and tries to remember. He says, "Where did I hear that name?" Well, it came to him. You see, Rabbi Sai, years ago in elementary school, when the four daughters of Mrs. Kolkish went to that public school, one of the daughters, by the name of Razel, so she noticed that there was a boy who never seemed to have lunch given to him from his house. He grew up in a broken home, his father was a shikker, and he was one of the few boys that did not have any lunch. So she had instructed her mother, or asked her mother, to give an extra lunch, and she served him on a daily basis, gave him. That was this commander. Rabbi Sai, but a Rosh is a Rosh, so he says, "Not let them be spared, I'll give them another 24 hours. In other words, Shabbos, little blah, Shabbos, he says. "I'll give them Shabbos, but tomorrow we're going after them." To be able to recognize that, of course, I tell you. That much he couldn't do. At least that much, the 24 hours. So now, the next day, they came to pick up. The soldiers came to pick up Mrs. Kolkish and her daughters. They were ordered into a truck that took them to the train station in Vienna. The train would take them to a labor camp, which most of the prisoners were never heard of. The ride from the hotel, being that we said the hotel was at the edge of town, was so long that by the time they arrived at the train station, the train had already left. Every passenger on that train ultimately perished in concentration camps. They were very frustrated, these soldiers, at the inept timing, as it were. So they brought the Kolkish back to headquarters, where they were imprisoned for the rest of the week until the next train for Vienna. Before next week arrived, the visas came from Chile, Rabbi Sai. So that hotel, which they thought was a raw, was not in the most scenic place, and was over there, at the end of the day, saved their lives. That's what Kodesh Baruch Hu runs his world, Rabbi Sai. That's what Hachukoch process is. That's what a little bit of Bitochen, Rabbi Sai, can give us. We should be Zoichah, Rabbi Sai, to be mechazik ourselves a little bit stronger in Bitochen, and we'll be Zoichah, the call to Bitochen.